We're going to talk now, though, about the staffing situation in which we find ourselves in this country. The government has announced a review of the occupations eligible for employment permits under the critical skills occupation list and an eligible occupations list. Employers and stakeholders are being urged to make a submission as part of the review process. At a time of full employment, with over 2.6 million people at work in Ireland, it's vital we have a strong employment permit system to allow for non-EEA nationals to fill the skill and labour gaps that we cannot access in Ireland or Europe. That's Neil Richmond, Minister for State for Business, Employment and Retail, where employers or stakeholders are facing challenges in recruiting a specific occupation and believe it should be eligible for an employment permit or believe a certain occupation should move on to the critical skills list. Now is their opportunity to share this feedback, says Minister Richmond. And that is the call and the cry for employers to get involved and start communicating with government. I'm sure they already are in many cases with regards to what's on the list, what should be on the list, and how we attract more people in when it comes to the critical skills list. Now, there is a list. It's long and detailed. Engineering professionals, natural and social science professionals, health and social services managers and directors, information technology professionals, ICT professionals, production managers and directors in construction, information technology and communications professionals are on the list, health professionals are on the list, therapy professionals, nursing and midwifery, teaching and education, business research and administrative professionals are there as well, architects, town planners and surveyors, welfare, that's social workers there as well, quality and regulatory professionals, that's quality insurance, assurance and regulatory professionals, environmental health professionals, media professionals are on the list, art directors and animation are required by the country. That's just to name a number of them, sports and fitness occupations as well, high performance coaches and directors, sales, marketing and related associate professionals wanted as well. Now, with that, one of the biggest demands, one of the biggest areas that's under the most pressure with regards to trying to find staff is our hospitality sector. And with me on the line to talk about this is TG O'Connor, who's head of section in Hotel, Culinary Arts and Tourism at the MTU, Munster Technology University, Kerry. TJ, good morning to you.
Morning, Jerry. How are you keeping?
Good. Now, we all see the signs. We see them everywhere. Help wanted, staff wanted, employers crying out for staff. You've noticed a trend in recent years as to why we are where we are, I suppose, with hospitality staff and shortages.
Well, I suppose from our point of view, you know, we see traditionally a lot of students would have come through the CAO avenue, and I would say that that's probably down nationally by about 50%. So therefore then that leaves us with less people to actually train and graduate and to offer to industry. And I suppose then maybe along with that, you know, we would have people contacting us on an ongoing basis looking for staff. And generally a lot of the programs that we run now are springboard funded, so that would mean that they're potentially already working or employed. Training management development program, they're already employed. So when people contact us looking for people, we're not in a position to provide them because they're either not there on full-time programs or they are already employed and upskilling and training on programs that we offer.
And do you have people contacting you, TJ, looking for staff all the time?
Continuously, yeah. I mean, you know, in fairness, a couple. It hasn't just happened now. You know, I suppose COVID actually probably, how would you say, it came at a time when even before that, I was at a stage that I set up Jobs for Chefs in Kerry Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because I suppose I was being constantly contacted and I had nothing to offer. So what I did was, you know, at least try to set up a network where people can, you know,
post their availability or
absolutely
post their job.
Yeah.
And that there's a need to do that. Look, what are the issues that need to be addressed here to encourage people into the industry? Is it an issue of, you know, reputational issues or some other aspect of it to
well,
do with that?
I think that there's an awful lot to it, really, to be honest. I went on Indeed yesterday, just yesterday evening, and I found 2,300 jobs for chefs. 125 of them are in Kerry.
2,300 jobs?
2,300
for
jobs,
chefs.
Yeah, for chefs, yeah. And 125 in the Kerry area. And I suppose, you know, it's absolutely massive. So you'd say to yourself, well, if there's so much opportunity there, why are the people not availing of education and going down that route? I think, to be honest with you, there's an awful lot of people doing an awful lot of things, but nobody can do it in isolation. So, you know, you have the industry itself, you have the industry representative bodies, and then you have the education providers. And, you know, there is many forums that they all come together and they you know, they work together. But it is key at this stage, you know, that all departments and all stakeholders come up with a strategy to move this forward. One of the things that I have done in the late is I look at other European countries, so not the non-EU countries, but other European countries, because the intake in this in these sectors is still quite high. So this week, as it happens, actually, there will be we partner with a school in Hungary, and there's 18 Hungarian students coming over to work in the Kerry area. In July, we work with a school in Milan, and there is 14 students coming from that school to work in the Kerry area as well. And then we also have relationships with a school in France, Slovenia, and of late Reunion Island, which is it's an island in the Pacific, but it's actually a French they would be French origin,
a French protectorate.
And you know, so and what I'm looking at there is it's not just getting them over to work here, but potentially, because normally it's a kind of a vocational education in those countries, so they start when they're 13 or 14 and they leave then when they're 18. So it's, you know, it's equivalent to their secondary school, but it's discipline specific. But they would be coming out of there, even though they've trained for 5 years, they'd probably, in a level of education, have about a level six. So I'm trying to talk to these schools and offer them employment opportunities here, but maybe in conjunction with also further education, because their education goes to level six in that specific discipline. So this is an opportunity maybe to give them a higher education qualification as well as a job.
Yeah, and that works from that point of view. Maybe some of them will stay here and that. But is there an issue with the reputation of the industry? Like, in order of those countries, you tend to find older people or people further along into their careers working at the level of waiter or manager in hospitality. Do we have an issue here that it's seen by Irish people as, well, that's a job for your teenager or your college years, but then when you want to get serious about employment, you go elsewhere into another industry?
Yeah, I won't lie. I actually wrote it down because, you know, young people tend to see it as being a transitional job. And it's something that you do until you move on to something else, you know. Like me, myself personally, I started out my career as a chef, and I've travelled in many places around the world and various other. But I looked at it as a profession. When I put on the uniform, this is my profession, and it is a profession. So, you know, I think young people look at it as maybe that it is that job that you have when you're 16 or 17, and that's the prospect of it. But that is not the prospect of it, because there is, you know, you can travel the world. If you look at the average salaries that are there now, the average salary is about 45,000. The average salary for a chef is probably starting at about maybe 32, going to 36, but reaches and exceeds 50,000. But again, it's about...
Is that enough, TJ? Because the view would be that this is poorly paid, anti-social hours, you work all the hours that God sends, and it's not a great industry. This is just a perception from some. Now, I know there are many employers who pay more than that, and they're very good, but it seems to be always, and it comes up every time we talk about this, we get people texting, and I was in that industry, I'll never go back. etc.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I mean, and everybody is entitled, I think, to their opinion. But, you know, what we need to do as well is we need to look out to all those people who have been in it all their lives and that are still in it and are still creating, you know, have a life from it, have a, you know, they have a family, they have a, you know, a house, they have all of the things that everybody else has that they've gone into, you know. So I suppose there's going to be good and bad, but it's really, again, it's fit, it, you know, the person needs to want it, have a passion for it, and there is many, many opportunities within it. So much so, like, that there is apprenticeships, there is springboard opportunities. For example, we have recently developed a BA in food business innovation, and I suppose for young people, that is identifying the fact that where you start is not always where you finish. There are so many opportunities in the hospitality industry. And if I was to talk specifically about chefs, for example, I suppose the other reason is why it's hard to get people in hospitality is because now there is food trucks, there's corporate catering, there's delicatessens. Some supermarkets and petrol forecourts are bigger than some restaurants.
They are. They have more covers than the restaurants. It's a different industry now in terms of where people can work and the amount of jobs that are available.
Absolutely.
In, let's say, non-traditional restaurant cafes as we would traditionally associate them.
Yeah. You see, and I mean, you know, all the while then there's still the same pool of people. You know, the same amount of people, the same population, but there has been an explosion in the amount of food offerings and different opportunities that it can provide for people. Yeah. So I suppose that's why I'm looking. I think, to be honest, I think as well, like, you know, we talk about, if I go back to Springboard, it's we've got a Springboard program which looks to people who are already working in industry, but also looks to people who may be looking for a career change or are currently unemployed. So I suppose from my perspective, we can, as MTU, put out that opportunity to people. But what I'm trying to do here in Kerry is I have asked businesses to actually, on their social media, advertise the opportunity that's there. These are fully funded programs, but an integral part of them is a work placement. So I'm asking a local business to actually say, here, I'm a local business, this is a fantastic training opportunity, you're potentially a young or middle-aged or older person that is unemployed, so if you apply for this, well then I'm willing to work with you on it, you know. And so it's coming from a business, not necessarily starting with the education side of it, but it's a collaboration, really.
Yeah, collaboration. That's the way to go. Yeah. Teacher, stay with me. We want to talk a bit more about this. If you have a view on what needs to be done or what can be done here in terms of hospitality, increasing the jobs and the numbers of people who are available for those jobs, then do get in touch with us in the programme. We'll have more after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling, collecting waste and recycling at your door.
Yeah, we're talking with TJ O'Connor, of the head of section for Hotel, Culinary Arts and Tourism at the Munster Technological University, about the industry and staffing and issues, how to get people into jobs that are out there, and plenty of jobs out there, plenty of businesses looking for people to work in hospitality. And TJ, I mentioned it earlier, some of the comments coming through. Jury, chefs don't want to work in the industry anymore because it's an awful, awful job. And jury, terms and conditions are the reasons for lack of people going into the hospitality industry.
Yeah, I suppose the thing about it is, look, it's not an awful, awful job.
No, I'm sure there are people who have had awful experiences, like in every industry.
Absolutely.
It's unfair to tire everyone's
I suppose much. The way I look at this is that it does require, you know, it is a pressurised situation that you're in generally, because, you know, everybody wants to kind of come in at the one time and eat, you know. But it's funny, we learnt an awful lot, I think, from kind of COVID as well, in the sense of where, you know, when it was reopened, you had to be in at 6 and you had to be gone for 7:30, you had to come in at 7:30, you had to be gone for 9, and businesses were able to spread out their services and all of that. And I think maybe that we've just kind of reversed back into the kind of the madness again. But I think that, you know, it has to be properly resourced, absolutely. The businesses have to have a kind of a plan behind it as well. well. Young people, if they're looking for something now, they want to look for career, they want to look for progression opportunities, they want it mapped out in front of them. It's not kind of a day-to-day basis. So, you know, again, I do think that the industry possibly has to look at that. And because whatever we offer, if we whatever programs we offer, at the end of the day, what a young person today is going to be looking at is what's out at the other end. It's like our training programs are products, and if they will only buy the product if the person at the end, which is the industry, want that product and, you know, appreciate the product, I guess, and also demand that level of education and experience and knowledge and skills to actually work in the industry.
Yeah, I know in recent years various different organizations have tried to advertise and tried to promote, maybe not as much as they should, what life in the career in the industry can be. They try and say, listen, consider it. This is the way to go. Mm-hmm. Fall Charlie, we're doing a bit of advertising there. Does more of that need to be done?
I think
this can be a lifelong career for you, not just a summer job.
Absolutely, 100%. And that's exactly what is needed. And what you need is that story, and you need actually somebody, a real life person that has lived that story and gone through it, and, you know, and telling the ups and downs of it, you know, the no warts as well, to be honest with you, like, because it isn't all a bed of roses, but then nothing is. I mean, if I told my own story, I've travelled the world, you know, where I started is not where I finished, but I don't regret a day of it. A lot of people might say, well, you're no longer in the industry because you're now teaching, you know, or you're an educator. But I mean, education is a massive part of our industry anyway, mentoring people. It happens on the job, it happens off the job. So say, for example, we're talking about how do you attract people in. We have apprenticeships. There is a commis chef apprenticeship, a chef de partie apprenticeship, and a sous chef apprenticeship. They have different durations, there are different levels of education. But the key thing is that they're industry driven.
Yeah.
Okay, so industry have to take the responsibility of advertising those opportunities, telling the story, and telling that young person or middle-aged person, it doesn't have to be a young person, this is what it looks like, this is what we're going to do with you and take you through this, this is how we're going to support you, we're going to pay you, we're going to do all of this. More of that needs to happen.
Yeah.
One point in that one is... about a year ago, I was working with a business in Limerick, and they had been advertising looking for chefs for about maybe 7 months. And then they contacted me and I said, would you like to put an advert up on an apprenticeship portal? So they did so. And they hadn't received any applications for the actual chef's job, but for the apprenticeship opportunity, they actually had to whittle down it down to 6 people. They had in excess of about 15 expressions of interest, and they narrowed it down to 6.
Yeah.
So, do you know, there is people out there, if you present it to them
in the right way,
in a supportive way. Yeah.
Yeah. And TJ, from that then, in terms of, we talked about the critical skills list, does hospitality need to be put on that list or put in that sort of a place of priority by the government? Maybe look at the other aspect of, you know, why don't we change laws or rules to encourage more older people, perhaps maybe people who are retired, to get back into it part-time without affecting their taxation situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fairness, Springboard is a perfect example of that. Like, we've had so many career changers in that, and so many people that have come back as mature learners and have been hugely successful and are still working in the industry, you know, because, I suppose, you know, they knew exactly why they were coming back into it. They set up their own businesses. They're now working for other people. But I suppose in relation to the work permits, I totally agree, you know, that you see the other side of it is that we're such a small country. I think we can't forget that. For example, I visited a school in Bilbao in Spain, and they have 550 trainee chefs. We don't have 550 trainee chefs in Ireland. But then again, you're talking about mass population. These are countries with millions of people, not just 5 million. But going back to the permit, I came up with this kind of idea, and I have bounced it off a few people. But, you know, so if you're putting it on a list, what you want to do is you're bringing in people from non-EA countries where possible, or non-EU countries where there's a possibility that education is a privilege, not a given.
Yeah.
So why not look at the granting of permits and do it in conjunction with something like an apprenticeship system? So the unique selling point of inviting people or attracting people to Ireland would be not just come and earn, but also come and learn. You know, and it's something again, and it would raise the profile of our industry in general, because our industry does require education. It's not that transitional job. It's not just something you do until you move on to something else. I mean, every course that we have is from level 6 up until 9, which is higher certificate, ordinary degree, honours degree, master's degree. And you can do a doctorate as well. So, you know, a lot of people think that it's maybe something that you do if you can't do something else. That's absolute rubbish.
Yeah, and needs to be recognised.
And needs to be recognised, yeah.
Okay, TJ, listen, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for giving us your views. A lot to get into, a lot for our legislators, I think, to get into as well from what you're saying. But thanks so much for talking to me in the programme this morning.
Thank you, Ger.
That's TJ O'Connor there from Munster Technological University. A lot of good ideas, a lot of things that need to be changed. If you've taken it, we want to hear from you on the programme at 0667 123 666. Lots to get to on Kerry today after we take these.